Okay, here we go. Let's put our seatbelts on. We're going to go out there in cerebral heavens and explore things we don't usually talk about here with a brilliant PhD on the planet, a physicist who has been on the program before. He is Dr. Myron Evans, PhD, primarily known for the ECE theory, and we'll be talking about that during this hour as we move right along. There's a lot to talk about. The ECE theory has been developed extensively in a series of 175 source papers to date. These are source papers. It covers all the main areas of physics, chemistry, differential geometry, and electrical engineering. It is an engineerable theory, and devices based on it are in research and development by a company over there. He's up very early in the morning in Wales, by the way. ECE theory has therefore been entered into its industrial stage. It's well underway and being proven out now in actual constructs. The theory has been extensively published in referenced journals and has been generating intense interest for 5 years on AIAS.us and other websites as well. This is a very big subject in physics, very controversial in some circles. There are lots of folks who would like to keep things exactly as they are and don't want anything new on the table, but this is definitely on the table and continues to move forward. It is with pleasure and certainly some honor that I welcome back to the program Dr. Myron Evans, PhD. How are you, Myron? Thanks for getting up early.
Oh, fine. Yeah, nice to be on the program again.
How was the reaction to the first time you were on?
Oh, all the messages I got, people liked it, you know, and messages from scientists and so on. And I think it people looking at my blog or diary increased the traffic there, so there's quite a lot of interest in it.
Very good. Which location would you like people to go to directly first? I'll make sure that's up there. What's the best resource for them, for you?
Yeah, it's the website, AIAS.us.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Same as before. All right.
Same as before. And the blog on that website.
Very good. Okay. Well.
And that gives all the information then.
Okay. So, tell us about ECE again. Let's just go through that for our folks who are new to this particular visit. ECE.
Yes. Well, it's I named it Einstein, Carton, and after myself, because to distinguish it from another theory called Einstein-Carton, because Albert Einstein, of course, initiated the subject of general relativity, and Elie Carton was one of the best mathematicians who discovered the correct geometry in the 1920s, on which physics, it turns out all of physics can be based.
Okay, now you just said something interesting. He discovered the correct geometry in the 1920s upon which all physics can be based.
That's right, yes, yep. The idea of general relativity, you know, that physics is geometry. It goes back to the Greeks, really, you know, to ancient times.
Sure. Is mathematics the speech of the universe then?
Well, geometry, you know, I think Kepler, Johannes Kepler, it was the phrase, where there is geometry, there is matter. And he, of course, was the first to discover that an orbit is an ellipse and not a circle.
That's pretty smart. Yeah.
Oh, Kepler, yes. Oh, yes.
That's the telescope is named after Mr. Kepler, as most
Keplerian,
of you know.
Keplerian, that's right, yeah. Yeah, he was Imperial Mathematicus, they call it, Mathematicus, to the Holy Roman Emperor in Prague.
Hmm.
Discovered the three laws of planetary motion, and Newton based his synthesis, universal gravitation, on those three laws.
Hmm.
Isaac Newton, Leibniz as well. It developed from there. Einstein, of course, was the first to realize that a new type of geometry was needed, Riemannian geometry.
Uh-huh.
About 1905, but the type of geometry used by Einstein
was flawed, or was it limited?
Yes, it was limited because it revolved around a quantity called curvature, the Riemann curvature, Riemann tensor, and Cartan discovered that there was also another fundamental quantity called the torsion.
Torsion field, sure. We've heard that.
Yeah, torsion, etc. So that was unknown to Einstein. He based his field equation on what is known as the second Bianchi identity.
Now we're talking again about the ECE theory, if you just joined us. Einstein, Cartan, C-A-R-T-A-N, hyphen Evans. Einstein, hyphen Cartan, hyphen Evans, ECE theory. When this new geometry came around, how did Einstein embrace it?
He was told about it by his friend, Marcel Grossmann. They used to be students. Einstein implemented it to try to extend what he called special relativity of 1905 to incorporate the motion, any kind of motion of a frame of reference with respect to another frame.
But in always in a circular sense.
Or in any sense at all, because the special relativity is based on one frame moving with respect to another frame at a constant velocity, constant speed. Einstein started to look for a more general theory. And
if I might, Myron, in that general theory, did Einstein build within it room for flexibility, room for growth, room for reconfiguring things in the future, or was it more of an absolute theory?
Yes, he tried to extend the theory to incorporate all aspects of dynamics.
He wanted to lock it all in together. Okay.
That's right. Yeah.
Well,
it's
a nice goal, but it doesn't seem to me that the universe is something that we can actually. We're a rather humble species. I mean,
fully agreed.
That's a rather big, big thing to try to wrap your mind around. Black holes, Big Bang, the Higgs boson, go on and on. Has Einstein, with the ECE theory, we certainly have honored Einstein. Have you picked him up and moved him forward? Is that what this whole thing is about, to try to move it into a new generation, as it were?
Yes, exactly it, because Albert Einstein spent from about 1915 to 1955, when he died in Princeton, 40 years looking for what they call a unified field theory, a theory that can deal with the four fundamental forces of nature. Einstein concentrated on unifying electrodynamics and gravitation, but he, because his own general relativity was confined to gravitation only, but he never discovered a method of unification that was ever satisfactory to him. So in 2003, I decided to change the geometry or extend the geometry through use of geometry of Cartan, which involves both the Riemann curvature and a quantity called the Riemann torsion, or Cartan curvature and Cartan torsion.
So you took Cartan's work and plugged it into Einstein, so to speak.
Yes, it's like that. Cartan's work actually generalizes the geometry used by Einstein, and it can reduce to the Einsteinian geometry. But in general, torsion always exists, and there is no geometry without torsion, in fact. So it's a fundamental quantity. All geometry can be based on what is known as structure equations. The first and second structure equations of Cartan and one of his workers, Mohri, they define the Riemann torsion and curvature. So I incorporated that geometry, made a few simple hypotheses, and developed both electrodynamics and gravitation and all aspects of physics, in fact, on that geometry, which is the philosophy of Einstein, the philosophy of Kepler, and all the way back to the Greeks. And
so you have basically taken the work of Cartan and married it to Einstein and brought both of them with you and your guidance, shall we say, your leadership, certainly your brilliance, forward to a new plateau, a new level. We were stuck in this old level, and now all of a sudden we're up on a much higher plateau, it sounds like, and therefore the vision of what might be potentially achievable, certainly in a universal sense, would perhaps be more understandable and reachable. Is that correct?
Yes, that's an elegant way of summarizing. It's just an attempt, human attempt, of course, to understand nature. And I don't know if human beings can ever fully understand.
Well, they have to. First of all, they have to stop destroying it before they can begin to understand it.
Oh, yes.
Good Lord.
Yeah, I haven't got much time left to stop destroying it.
No, my friend, you're right. We do not have much time left, and that is a very sad truth. And the masses are becoming ever more reactive, not proactive. They're not thinking. They're following. They're consuming. They're being mentally rewired to be a servant, lower class, and we've just lost it. There are brilliant people out there like yourself, but I am not optimistic about our species at this point.
Well, the question, of course, is they must stop ruining the environment and trying to find, obvious, statement is we've got to find new sources of clean energy.
It's there, is it not? Is it not there?
Certainly. It's energy in what they call space-time. Space-time is a fusion of time and the three space coordinates concept used in, and again in relativity by the great scientists. And gravitation as developed by Einstein relied on the energy inherent in space-time, so this is not a new idea. It's now 100 years old because next year is the centennial of the Einstein field equation. So this energy from space-time also produces electromagnetic energy, which is one of the influences of ECE theory, and that has been demonstrated, and devices based on that are being sold to industry.
You must be aware of the electric universe theory, that it's all essentially interwoven electronically. And I'm using the term very advisedly here, so.
Yes, I think the that is one type of theory for electromagnetism. For example, the atom, hydrogen atom, is made up of a nucleus of one proton and one electron, and that's of course electromagnetism. But traditionally, gravitation is thought of as attraction between mass without electrical input, you know, mass M and mass M. And,
okay, so those who say electricity or electrical attractions and activities are the same as gravity are just fishing in the dark. They're wrong.
Not totally, but without a structure, such as geometry, without the foundation, you know, then they are fishing in the dark a bit. Geometry gives a very precise foundation to nature. It's difficult to conceive of anything without geometry, and it's very precise, very elegant, like the Pythagoras theorem, which is 2,500 years old.
And still unchallenged. It's rock solid, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the ECE theory, I guess, has, you told me, produced almost 300 papers just in the last 10, 11 years. That means there's an awful lot of interest out there in this field.
Yes, I've monitored the interest very carefully every day for about a decade. That can calculate, it's been read about 50 million times, I think, and which for theoretical physics is...
That's huge.
Yeah, impossible. I'd expect it for Bob Dylan or something, but...
I wonder if Bob Dylan's even been read 50 million times. That's quite something. Are we moving toward any major overhaul of our basic understanding of physics and the universe? Do you see us going into a new paradigm at some point? There are those in the field who feel that we are there. We have figured it out. We are not going to necessarily evolve into anything. We know what we're doing.
Oh, they are always there. it's I think the paradigm shift is shown clearly by the feedback and described in great detail on the site. It has been called the post-Einstein paradigm shift. And,
interesting.
Because the 20th century was dominated by Einstein's thought.
Is there a religion of Einstein? Is there a religious fervor surrounding him and his work that has been negative to progress?
Oh yes, that is anthropomorphic. Habit, or, you know, people who don't actually study things can only take things secondhand, something like that, and the susceptible ones do tend to go over towards what I describe as pseudo-theology, you know. I've got nothing against genuine piety or theology, but this is
pseudo theology.
Non-Baconian. You know, Francis Bacon based his ideas on testing ideas against nature and not against other ideas. So that's Baconian.
Interesting. If Einstein were around today, and you and he were to meet, and if Mr. Cartan were available, what would the outcome be? How do you think he would react to this?
Oh, I think he would be very open-minded. In fact, my co-author, Jean-Pierre Vigier, who was a great theoretical physicist, was invited to work with Einstein. So he knew Einstein's work firsthand. I think Albert Einstein himself would have been open-minded and discussed it, you know, and he was never certain of his own ideas.
How was he not ever certain of his ideas? What would make you say that?
Because he was always changing them. For example, the cosmological constant, trying to find new methods of unifying gravitation with electromagnetism.
But he never was able to do it.
No, you never quite, because he couldn't let go of the old Maxwell-Heaviside theory. That was the problem.
Interesting.
And he always based his electromagnetic sector on Maxwell-Heaviside, which is special relativity, and he tried to fit it into gravitation, which is general relativity, and can't be done, in my opinion, without geometry, a different geometry. Vigier accepted this new type of physics immediately, and he worked with another pioneer, de Broglie, and he was invited to work with Einstein, so I think Einstein would have...
Interesting. Well, fair enough. 50 million readings of this.
Yes, yes, estimated accurately by use of computer feedback.
Extraordinary. That's really extraordinary. Stand by, if you would, Professor, and we'll come right back. I've taken a short intermission. We'll be back in about 3 minutes. Okay, welcome back. Talking to Professor Myron W. Evans, Ph.D., about the Einstein-Cartan, C-A-R-T-A-N, Evans theory, the ECE theory, which has had over 50 million readings. Now, Wikipedia, I looked up prior to the program, I consider basically to be a septic tank where people can engage in all manner of libel and slander, and do.
Yeah,
it happens all the time. And they take a couple shots at you, which in my book is quite an endorsement, and I would not be in the least bit worried about anything like that. This whole world of the internet is rather populated with crazy people at times, and especially when it comes to something new, innovative, and revolutionary, there are an awful lot of people who don't like the status quo changed. Let me ask you a question. This is a rather Hollywoodish, but the idea of other forms of intelligent life being out there in the galaxy, and certainly the universe, let's first of all hope that there are other forms of quite intelligent life out there. But the argument here, and I've always found it to be a rather discouraging argument to listen to, is that, well, physics says we can't get from there to here unless you spend 2 million years traveling, you know, whatever. But with a revolution in physics, that's not necessarily true anymore, is it? That concept is rather dated, to put it mildly, correct?
Yes, it might be possible to travel at superluminal velocities. The idea of taking 2 million years, you know, and all that is based on the fact that the speed of light is thought to be an upper limit. But for 50 or 60 years, there have been many theories called tachyonic theories, notably by Ray Carmi and his group, that advocate traveling faster than light. And certainly, people should not be closed-minded to anything. And
I think isn't that Myron supposedly the underlying religion of physics, that one's mind should remain open to all possibilities. Science is supposed to be brave and to go where no man or woman has gone before. But with a closed-minded stance, you're not going to get very far. And that has always discouraged me. Scientists are supposed to be great warriors for truth and discovery and innovation. And yet, in so many ways, they're tied to grants and their egos and their publications and their awards and recognitions and so forth. And it just, science is a wonderful thing. I'm not knocking it. Physics is a wonderful thing. I'm not knocking that either. But I do think that we are a bit arrogant as a species to think that we know it all.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Scientist must... What a scientist should be is investigator of nature. Science comes from the Latin scientia, meaning knowledge, and should seek knowledge, you know, and irrespective of any anthropomorphic factor, of course, but that's where it comes to perfection, but that's what a scientist should be. He should not reject ideas without understanding them, and you mentioned two or three people on Wikipedia. That's what it boils down to, two or three of them.
You are correct. Two or three people can do a lot of smearing on Wikipedia. I just hate it.
Oh yeah, I've been subject to a lot of that, but. What must be done is patiently counter-argue them, and geometry is an ideal method of doing that.
To challenge
also,
them. Mm-hmm.
You know, because it bases everything on logic. And I've developed theories of possible superluminal motion, and if that were possible, people could travel to other planets in a reasonable time.
Uh-huh. Would you like to go?
Oh, I wouldn't mind. Just see how many eyes they've got.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Martians with the eyes.
Well, there's been quite a display of very interesting photographs from Curiosity on the internet. Very strange things. I published a picture of a valve in the ground, right below Curiosity. It was a perfect plus sign, if you will, just a cross, and it was like the kind of a valve you turn your lawn sprinklers on with, and next to it was a housing with bolts. You could see the square-headed bolts on it, and it was a piece of equipment. No question. And there have been many other things there. Mars is full of wondrous things, I believe, that somebody knows about and somebody doesn't want the world to quite understand it yet. But that's another story. It's kind of like hidden archaeology. There are things in our past that the status quo does not want us to know either. So.
Yes, well, we must always keep an open mind. You know, the problem is once they feel that their time-honored ideas are being challenged and refuted, then they get very upset, and they usually react
can be very violent verbally, emotionally. They just do not like their comfort zone invaded.
Especially trolls, you know, people like that.
Who?
Trolls, you know, people who will.
Oh, trolls.
Yeah, trolls.
Of course. Troublemakers. They're out there, folks. We've talked about this on this program, Professor Evans, many times. You mentioned that just two or three people on Wikipedia can literally defame someone or someone's work. And Wikipedia could seemingly care less about fact-checking anything.
That's easily countered. I counted that on my own diary and blog and papers many times.
Mm-hmm.
and that kind of stuff has not affected the progress of EC theory at all. And we can see people reading it from all the best universities in the Webometrics rankings or Times Higher Education rankings.
Very good. So it's quite trackable. Okay. When we have to take a break, 2 minutes or so, we'll come back and talk about energy, the potential of energy from space-time. This is very interesting. We always hear people talking about the zero point or other things of that ilk, and let's find out what Professor Evans has to say about that in just a few minutes. Okay, and welcome back. Talking to Professor Myron Evans, PhD in Wales, where it's early in the morning. We have heard talk, so much talk on the internet and everywhere. You hear people use terms they shouldn't really use. When you hear people talk about, oh, what would be a good example? They talk about scalar energy, or they talk about if anything is being sold and you hear the word quantum within a mile of it, run. It's absurd. People use quantum this, quantum that, scalar this, scalar that. But let's talk about the reality of the potential of some sort of energy in space-time. And how would that be, and how would you describe it?
I would describe it as a transfer of the energy inherent in curved space-time to electrical devices. So total energy is conserved. It's just a transfer of energy, exactly like a water wheel, you know, that transfers energy from water to something to grind down the corn. Energy from space-time is exactly the same concept, and was actually used in the Einstein theory 100 years ago, so it can simply be applied to electromagnetism, and the proof of that is in the devices manufactured by companies such as that of Alex Hill, you know, who's using them, selling them to Fortune 50 companies already. And another example is low-energy nuclear reactors. More and more confirmation now that
what does that mean, low energy nuclear reactor? What do you mean?
Oh, that's a kind of device that causes fusion by means of arrangement of materials, and it's by now, the internet is saturated with references to that, and there are many devices based on it. I'm hoping industrial devices so far, and but I'm hoping to see domestic units that is a safe kind of nuclear fusion. You know, the usual kind of fusion is the controlled atomic bomb.
Well, Einstein said it. He said this is a hell of a poor way to boil water.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And the low energy nuclear reactors produce 1,000 times, I think, more energy than burning fossil fuel, coal or oil and or gas, stuff like that. And, and in my opinion, they also use energy from space-time, and we developed that in some of our papers, UFT-226, on the site, and I think the replications now are multiplying of that device, and the it proves that there is energy from space time. You know, the I don't see how people can deny it when it works. You know.
Well, that's true. If it works, it's pretty tough to put it down.
Yeah, it's just like saying that a horseless carriage works by a horse hidden in the boot, or you know, of a car. Yeah.
That's a good. That's a good analogy. Very good.
So that's those are manifestations of the EC theory. It simply transfers energy from space-time through use of resonance, just the usual resonance process. For example, the Tacoma Narrows Bridge in your part of the world, it was destroyed by wind once, the old bridge, because the resonance...
It began to vibrate, yeah.
Yeah, destroyed itself.
Shook itself to pieces.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's an example. One can use resonance to amplify the energy and trap it.
Are we talking about sound, Professor Evans? When you say resonance, could we call that, do we refer to that in an audio sense, or is it something else?
It can be both electrical or mechanical or sound or... in the case of this type of resonance, it helps to transfer electric power from space-time to a device, and some devices like LENR and the Alex Hill devices actually work, and Alex Hill would be pleased, has shown them to many people.
Mm-hmm.
That's et3m.net, that is that site. And but now is concentrating on actually manufacturing them and selling them to hard-headed businessmen, you know, not easily fooled by anything. And so those exist, but there's a lot of vague stuff on the net. This is not free energy, and it's not the perpetuum mobile, perpetual motion. It's obeys the fundamental law of conservation of energy. But total energy is conserved. Energy can only be transferred from one form to another form.
Total energy, in other words, okay, and it can only be... Go ahead. It can only be transferred. It can't be. It really can't be dissipated, or it doesn't disappear.
Yes, that's exactly right. It doesn't just disappear. The most famous example is James Watt boiling his kettle, and you know, he the steam blew the lid off the kettle, and then that was used for steam engines. And, the era of steam, that's an example of energy from steam being boiling water being transferred to mechanical energy.
People don't know that there were steam-powered tractors, certainly railroads, but there are steam engines to do all kinds of work, little steam engines.
Yes, certainly, steam engines. The ships, of course, were run off steam.
It was a wonderful technology for its time. Really.
Oh, yeah, that was a vast industry, and I hope to see low-energy nuclear reactors becoming a vast industry. And I hope that the burning of fossil fuel will stop.
Well, I hope as much as that, I certainly agree with you. I hope people stop calling it fossil fuel. It has nothing to do with fossils. That's what they call it.
Yeah, they think it's burning fossils or something. Coal and...
What's fascinating, Myron, is there have been found within deposits of coal very interesting examples of intelligently created things right here. little bracelet, for example, with interlocking loops, clearly made by someone, and this is very old, bituminous coal, these formations. And then in South Africa, they have found in, I guess it's a billion or a billion and a half year old rock formations, they found these round spheres, perfectly round spheres, not as big as a marble, smaller, and they have a groove right around the what would be the equator, and then one around the Tropic of Cancer, one around the Tropic of Capricorn, and there are thousands of these found in this ancient rock formation, which suggests that there have been things going on this planet during much of its 4.5 billion year history that we have no knowledge of. None.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all, and the open-minded scientific response to that is to investigate it with the Francis Bacon's philosophy and investigate nature, and then make a theory, and if the theory is wrong, change the theory and not nature.
Well, yeah, very well said. That's the human ego again gets involved, and
oh, very much so. I mean, very much so. I think these days scientists are very egotistical, some of them.
There are a lot of them, and it's really sad to see. I hope it changes. Perhaps it will. We'll see. Myron, thank you very much for getting up early and spending an hour with us. I really appreciate it. You're a brilliant man, and it's a pleasure to exchange time with you here on the program. Thank you.
Oh, pleasure. Thank you very much.
Okay. We'll talk again.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it'll be a pleasure. Okay. Thank you. Bye now.
Good night. All right, Professor Myron Evans and his ECE theory. There's a lot going on out there. Physicists are right in the forefront of it all, really. Very unknown area to most, misunderstood to others, but it is quite remarkable. And I always admire those involved with the field. Okay, we will be back tomorrow night, Tuesday. Hope you have a wonderful night and a really good day tomorrow. Take care.